am working and my Father is working even until now. Now, sometimes we don't see him working. Sometimes we don't feel him working. Does not mean that the Word of God is invalidated. It means we have to step into the realm of faith and believe the Word that says he's working. And that's not easy sometimes. I'm saying it's not easy for me. So I know it's not easy for any of you as well. But it's necessary in these times that we're living in. I'm going to share from Philippians chapter 3 this morning. And I look back in my sermon notes, and actually I shared from this chapter about 6 months ago. But that doesn't mean that God can't get my attention once again and show me more in the Scripture. Amen? So he has something for us this morning as well. From Philippians chapter 3, which Paul, I think most of your Bibles headline this as the goal of life. So starting at verse 7. But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, which, by the way, we can never measure up to, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. We love that part of the verse, but that's not where it ends. That I may know him, the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. That's submitting to the ongoing work of the cross in your life. In order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead, not that I've already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus himself. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And many times the Apostle Paul uses the imagery of the Olympic races. And so when he's saying here in context, you know, when the winner gets to the tape, he goes like this and breaks the tape and is declared the winner at that point. That's the imagery here about giving it all we have, believing the Word of God, believing the promises of God, and believing in the resurrection power of God to see to it that we get to the finish line and declare the victory. Now, unless you have your head in the sand or in denial, you know that our nation is facing serious and unprecedented challenges. The border is open. Illegal aliens are pouring in by the millions. The economy has seen better days. When I went to South America in the mid-80s, I used to have a wad of their bills like this, and it really was only like $25. You have to have so much money in your wallet now because everything's changing daily. You can't keep up with inflation. The government, as you might know, is facing another shutdown because of irresponsibility in handling our finances, your finances, that you have sacrificed for and paid taxes for. And greed and corruption. But here's the good news. I said all that to give you the good news. Things are being exposed that have been allowed to go on for way too long. And God is allowing these things to be brought to the light that have been in darkness many, many years. It's not just the last election cycle or this last decade. It's been going on for a long, long time, unchecked. But more than that, he is revealing his redemption plan in all of this. That he has an answer, he has a plan, he has a remedy to bring about redemption in all of this mess. And the reason is he's still committed to the covenant he made with the founding fathers of this nation. He's a covenant-keeping God. He keeps that same covenant with you when your circumstances are crying, no, 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 God saying yes, 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 and amen. You're going to make it. You're going to come to a place of victory over this. You're going to see the hand of God in all of this. And it's okay to say, oh, how long, Lord? That's not necessarily a lack of faith. It's just telling God, this is how I feel. This is where I'm at. But for our part, we are not to be fearful. You know, I have a T-shirt, and actually I get a number of comments when I'm in the supermarket. It has a cross, and in the middle, the crosshairs, it says, fear not. Fear not. How many times, if you read your Bible, you will know many, many times he says it in his word. Because why? Because we fall prey to fear. We get overwhelmed by life. But he says, fear not. Or lose hope. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. He's faithful. Ephesians 2:13. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off, pre-Christ, pre-salvation. That's what it's talking about here. You didn't even know that you were sinning. You thought you were a good person. No. You needed Christ. Then you need him just as much now. You who were formerly far off have been brought near by what? The blood of Christ. The power of the blood of Christ is what brought you to the Father. It opened the door for restored fellowship with your daddy in heaven. So here's the title this morning. Short and sweet. Opportunity and ability to excel. That's what the Lord spoke yesterday morning to me. Opportunity and ability to excel. In these turbulent times, in other words, with all the challenges that are going on, you still have the ability and you still have the opportunity because of Christ Jesus, your Lord. So the Apostle Paul in this Philippians 3 talks about the goal of life, the quality of a Christian's life, prospering in life, not allowing circumstances to dictate whether you have a good day or a bad day, knowing full well you are his son or his daughter, and he's ever mindful of everything you're going through and how you're feeling. So how do we take advantage of the opportunities before us in these times and exercise and show the abilities that God has blessed us with? And there's no two of us that I'm looking at that are alike. God has given you things. God has given you abilities and giftings. You are uniquely qualified to minister to a certain segment of the population. You can reach people that I can't reach, just as I can reach people that you can't reach. So number one, we have the knowledge of Christ and his ways. It's a very, very impressive array in the scriptures of how he lived his life. Verse 8, I count all things to be lost, Paul saying, in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. He's saying, this is top shelf, folks. There's nothing more important than knowing Christ and living for Christ. And we're not perfect. Doesn't mean we won't make mistakes. But that's the power of the blood. That's the power of forgiveness and repentance. He's made a way for us to start all over again and have a brand new day with no mistakes in it. A worldly person says, oh, things are too far gone. No way to recover from this. It's hopeless. There's no solution. But the Bible says, Matthew 19:26, with men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And it says elsewhere, all things are possible to him who believes. In the synoptic gospels. So it's saying that redemption, resolution, resources, renewed hope, you fill in the blank. All things are possible if you believe him, if you submit to him, if you talk to him about how you're feeling and your situation and your circumstances. He is going to listen, and it tells us in 1 John later on, if we know he hears us, do you know he hears your prayers? Then we know we have the request that we have asked of him. Not every scripture is in there. I'm doing it on the fly as the Holy Spirit fills in the blanks. Jesus said this in John chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. What he's saying there is you will find provision. That's what the grazing in the pasture is indicative of. You will find whatever you need, you will find through him and in him. The abundant life with Christ. The Passion Translation renders that experiencing life, freedom, and satisfaction. And verse 10, John 10:10, the thief, Satan, comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But I came that they, who's they? Those that have received and lived for Christ, that they might have life, the kind of life he always intended for man to have, the abundant life. This isn't the prosperity gospel. This is the gospel, according to Jesus. The abundant life. But it's based on that relationship, that interchange with the Lord, always being striving to be more intimate. I confess, that's one of my biggest challenges, being intimate with the Lord. And if you're honest, you probably would, I'm not asking you to raise your hand, but you probably say, yeah. You don't allow the Lord. I don't allow the Lord to get as close as he desires. I don't know why that is. But those that live for him, 2 Peter 1:3, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. There is no excuse for saying you can't. That would be my take on this verse. It says, he's given you everything. He's granted to you, gifted, if you will, to you, everything you need to prosper, to succeed, to live for him, to experience abundant life. So we need to find and walk in our identity. You know, you don't have to worry about anybody else's calling, anybody else's ministry, anybody else's giftings. You have a very specific mission from the Lord called who you are in Christ, who he made you to be. You can hear it through the Holy Spirit, and you can also discover it right in this book, in the Word of God. And as you do, you will see and live for him with the ability he's given you to live for him. And you will recognize what I call divine appointments or opportunities that God brings your way. And, you know, sometimes we fall prey to ungodly thinking. We think that we can't. Oh, you want me to minister to that person? I don't even like that person. Yeah, exactly. Because he's qualified you to do it. He's called you to do it. And he wants to see if you're willing to obey when the challenge is presented. I remember I was at an alumni event, and I took my wife, and you know, we had one of these banquet tables, and there was like 12 people there, and I started sharing the salvation message with the guy across the for me. And my wife is like doing one of these, like, slow down. I'm like, no, I can't slow down. The Holy Spirit's given me a green light. He needs to be saved. He needs to hear the gospel. I don't care what he thinks of me. He may never see me again. That's not the point. God was presenting me with an opportunity to lead someone into his saving grace. We need to recognize those opportunities and walk into them confident, boldly, unashamedly. Secondly, for this opportunity and availability to use our abilities, it says in verse 9, we are found in him and his righteousness. The righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. 1 Corinthians 4, verses 1 and 2. Let a man regard us in this manner, as servants of Christ, stewards of the mysteries of God, the gospel. That's what it's talking about. Of Christ, and stewards of the mysteries of the gospel. In this case, it's required of the stewards that they be found faithful or trustworthy. That's what you want to hear on that fateful day. Well done, good and faithful servant. I trusted you, and you trusted me. Second Peter 3, verses 13 and 14. But according to his promise, we are looking for a new heaven and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found in him and by him in peace, spotless and blameless. And so, this is the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. You will always need to be sanctified. It's talking about making righteous choices. When you're presented, when you're at a crossroad, you have a choice to make. And that's what it's talking about here. Making the right choice, making the righteous choice that will please him and honor him. 2 Corinthians 5:21, and he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Now, do you understand the impact of this scripture? A sinless Christ became sin for me. Put your name in it. Yes, for the world, that's true. We know, John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have eternal life. That's the trade-off. That's what happened on the cross. He became sin. The Father turned away. He couldn't look at him because he was looking at sin if he did. That you might become the righteousness of God in Christ. My, what a God we serve, that he would do such a thing, that he would love us that much. And we sang about that in that song this morning, about his love. First Corinthians 1:30, but by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. It's a full package. He gives us, and he is everything that we need. So we need to look for and make every opportunity to the best of our ability that we excel for him and for his glory. You know, I find that I am my worst critic. I don't have to wait till somebody else criticizes me. I step up to the plate first. And I think that's true for many, or perhaps all of us as well. We don't have to wait for the devil to rub our faces in the muck. We do a pretty good job of it on our own at times. And we need to stop that. We need to start declaring who we are in Christ. Well, I don't feel righteous. It's not based on whether you feel righteous. It's based on the declaration of the Son of God who died for you, became sin for you, that you might experience the abundant life. Faith in him, number 3, verse 9. Faith in Christ. The Amplified reads, possessing that genuine righteousness which comes through faith in Christ, the Anointed One. The truly right standing with God which comes from God by saving faith. My, my, my. Only God could do such a thing. Only God could think up such a plan. So why would we think, with all the challenges we're facing in this country, in the culture, in the schools, even in the church, that God would change his mind? He has a plan, and he is going to back it 100%. Faith in Christ. I do remember I sang a few of these lyrics a while back. This was popular right in the Jesus movement in the 70s, 1972. It's when I graduated from college. That's when the Holy Spirit started drawing this heathen into the kingdom of God. And Andre Crouch wrote a song called Through It All. And he says, I thank you for the mountains. Thank him for the valleys. I thank him for the storms he's brought me through. For if I never had a problem, I'd never know that God could solve them. I'd never know what faith in his word could do. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. And that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. God's never let me down, and he never will let me down. My faith, my hope is in him. Faith in Christ is more than believing he's the Savior of the world, or he's your Savior. Not that that's bad or wrong. John 4:42. Faith in Christ is believing in the finished work of the cross and in the resurrection, proving that he was who he said he was, the Son of God with power, Romans 1:4. And the power of his shed blood to heal and set free. And that that same power dwells in you, 2 Corinthians 12:9. Don't think you can't. Don't think it doesn't, because the Word of God says it does. The same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells in every blood-bought believer. And no demon, no false theology, no person can debate that. It's a fact. It's the truth. And we need to start living like it's the truth, instead of backing down, instead of bowing to fear. We need to rise up in faith and declare we are who God says we are, and we can do what God says we can do. Period. No exception. Come on. Get with his program. That's the challenge in these days. I'm not denying that's not evil out there. I'm not denying that things look bad. But I am declaring he has the final say. When he says enough, that's it. Enough. So we need to, according to Ephesians 4:15, grow up into all aspects, into him who is the head, Christ, Christ Jesus himself. So that you can realize your full potential in him. Number 4, knowing him and the power of his resurrection, verse 10. So, we have Ephesians 4:13. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to Christ. Now, you were born for the challenges that are out there today. Not to fail, but to run to them. Like David did with Goliath. Any sane person wouldn't have done what David did, but he was insane for Christ. He dared to believe that uncircumcised Philistine was not just bad-mouthing Israel, but bad-mouthing Almighty God. And he was, for one, was not going to stand for it. That's the kind of attitude we need to have to confront evil, to bring about the necessary changes in the culture, in the political realm, in the financial realm, in all, as Lance Wallnau would say, all the seven mountains. Lance and Johnny Enlow, two proponents of that model. Romans 6:5. For if we have become united with him, with Christ, in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. To start thinking, you are dangerous. You don't have to fear the devil. You don't have to fear anything. Because you have the righteousness of God in Christ, and you have his resurrection power that comes through the Holy Spirit that has been invited in when we became born again. Daniel 11:32. The end of the earth. The people who know their God will display strength and take action. It's saying, don't wait for somebody else to do it. You do it. He's equipped you to face certain challenges. Don't say, oh, I'll pray about it. No, it's not good enough. It's good to pray, yes. In your prayer, ask the Lord, or even say, as Isaiah said, here am I, Lord, send me. Why not me? I have the power of the resurrection. I have your Holy Spirit living in me to give me wisdom, guidance, direction, truth. Why not me? Oh, no, maybe we should pray the pastor will do it. Uh-huh. I don't think so. Not if the Holy Spirit's challenging you. You have to be accountable to this life-bearing, life-giving Word of God. and to the very Holy Spirit that lives within you. We'll display strength and take action. I like the King James here. Carry out great exploits. Things that seem impossible. God wants us to believe Him for the impossible, not just for what we know we can do. Yeah, I can do that. I can handle that. No. To do the things you can't handle. You can't do without Him. That's what these times demand. A people that are going to stand up and dare to proclaim His word and believe His word in every circumstance and every situation in life. Without Him, we can do nothing. That's what John the Baptist said. And that's what you should say too. But with Him, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, through His power. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. So we need to recognize every challenge as an opportunity to show His strength, grace, power, and the ability to prevail, to rise above the challenge. Get His viewpoint. Get His take. He wants us to prosper. He wants us to be victorious. That's His declaration over us. It's not, oh, I'm a 90-pound weakling. You know, maybe I'll pray that somebody else will step up and do it. No. Sorry, that's not going to cut it. He's raising an army in this hour of a people who dare to believe Him and dare to serve Him when they are going to seem like fools. That's a tough assignment, isn't it? We're so worried about what people will think at times. We should be worrying about what He will think when we don't listen to the Holy Spirit, when we don't obey, when we don't step out in faith and meet the challenge before us. And number 5, finally, last but not least, verses 12 to 14 in our text in Philippians 3, laying hold of His purpose, His promises, and His vision for the future. It's not just in Jeremiah that it says you have a future and a hope. God is always saying that to us. You have a bright future. You have a successful future. I am for you. I will empower you. I will anoint you. But you have to exercise faith in the face of every single you can't. It's impossible. No, it's not. That's a bold-faced lie. That's contrary to the Word of God. Laying hold and forging ahead. That's what His desire is for each and every one of us. It says there that I lay hold of that for which I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. It never entered my mind to preach the gospel, to be a minister of the gospel. That was for somebody else. That's the way I used to think, even when I was first saved. But we're on a need-to-know basis. All I agreed to was to go to Bible school. Oh, that's a good idea, Lord. Yeah, I think that's a good idea. I need to know more of Your word. If He had told me then what I'd be doing now And what I've had to go through in the last 40 years, I would have said, you're talking to the wrong guy. Isn't that true? He equips us. Everything he does in your life is preparation for the ministry, for the calling, for the mission. It's in you. That deposit of Christ rests. It wants to get out. And faith says, I'm going to let it out, no matter what it costs. Laying hold of that which you were laid hold of by Christ. 1 Timothy 6:12. A lot of notes here. Hope I can read my notes. Fight the good fight. Is it a fight? Is it a challenge? Oh, you better believe it. The odds are stacked against you, but for Christ. You can't succeed, but for Christ and the power of Almighty God that lives within you. It's not going to happen without that. And you need to believe it. And start living like you believe it. 1 Corinthians 9:24. Run that you may win. Paul, again, he's using the imagery of the Olympic races here. Run that you may win. Another translation of that word, win, is obtain. Run in a way that you will obtain the prize. That wreath. Not a perishable one on earth, but that crown of glory that's been assigned to each and every believer as they finish the race with honor, with perseverance, and with faith. Run that you may win. So then, Galatians 6:10, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, but especially to those who are of the household of faith. We should have a special heart for one another. We should carry a special burden for one another. When one suffers, the Bible says, we all suffer. When one rejoices, we all rejoice. That's Bible truth. I'm not making this stuff up. Look it up. Colossians 4:5, conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. You may not get a second opportunity to speak to somebody about Christ. You may be God's last soldier before they go to heaven, or not. Talks about the unashamed workman in 2 Timothy chapter 2. It says in verse 21, abstaining, it's talking about abstaining from undesirable conduct. He will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. I was just reading in Luke about the faithful steward. And it says, well done. You took what I gave you, and you got 10 times. Now you're going to have 10 cities. It's not about the cities. It's about the responsibility God gives us when he knows we can be trusted. We start small. He gives us more and more and more as we prove ourselves faithful and trustworthy. Sanctified, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. So, you know, sometimes it just is hard to trust the Lord. I'm being honest. And you know those times. When your child is sick or someone's on their deathbed and the Holy Spirit's saying, raise them up. Pray the prayer of faith. It's not about whether they are raised up when you pray that prayer. It's about whether you're willing to pray it, whether you're willing to believe that through your prayer, God will raise that person from the dead. That's the kind of faith God desires in his disciples. To trust him more fully, to heed the voice of Holy Spirit, and he will ordain, open, and anoint you and your abilities for his kingdom purposes and for his glory. We have to start thinking in a way that lines up with this word of power here. We have to start believing this word. We don't just read, you know, a chapter a day, or we do our little devotional time and we put in our time. No, we have to believe it and live like we believe it. That's what these times require now more than ever. We were born like Esther for such a time as this. In her generation, she was the one that God was going to use. And honestly, you know what she said? If you read that, I think it's Esther 4, she has to go into the king without him inviting her. You know what the penalty is? Off with the head. And you know what she said? If I perish, I perish. I'm going to do what the situation requires. God bless you as you take these things to heart. It's not